I want to know how to better
manage it.
Exactly, manage it.
I think it's a universal problem.
Yeah, sure.
I was somebody in here that was the maybe Jacob that, but even with that, I mean, right? Is there anyone that doesn't suffer to some degree?
Sure.
Maybe the retired guys? I don't know.
Retired helps. My response is, God knows everything that's happening in the universe, every molecule that's floating around. And the essential question is, God a priority or peripheral?
Sure.
And if he knows everything, he knows how much you're working, how much time you've got. And so the intent of your heart, as far as your commitment to who is the priority in your life, he gets it. He's not surprised.
Sure.
And so don't fret it, and just recognize that it's not just you struggling. It is a spiritual battle, and the enemy of your soul plays into your giving yourself a hard time, a less than a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Satan tempts me to despair, that's his job. Okay? Keep the priority there. God knows it's a priority, and he'll give you the time you need to learn what you need to know.
Sure. Thank you.
I find a fascinating thing with busyness in the Bible. I can be busier than that I can scribe, and I can take time out to be in the Bible, and it's like that time was never spent. I never miss it. I don't ever miss out on anything because I spent time in the Word. It's never happened, right? As busy as things may be, as hectic as they may be, I've just never felt that I've lost out for making that decision.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I look at it as like putting money in the bank. When you do have, you know, and Rob is definitely who I submit to. I have some great conversations and studies, and I want to pick back up on that when time becomes more available. But just having good mentorship and discipleship is huge, because especially with a kid, it's a game changer. They're going to look at you and, you know, are you the real deal or just somebody who says, yeah, I believe. So thank you guys for that.
That's good. So, Rob, what about that? Why did you choose this workshop? What are you hoping to learn today?
I think it's always good to sharpen your tools and to gain information from other guys, even just collectively, get in more information and to learn other methods, learn other tools that are available for becoming more Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the same with me, just to learn.
Yeah, good.
You know, to find another tool to grow better in and go from there.
That's good.
Rich? Same idea.
All right.
Hanging around other believers, listening to sharpening, how other people sharpen the tools.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, same. And to be quite honest, this was the workshop Jacob wanted to come to. So, but I didn't see any problem with coming to it at all for those reasons.
Good to have you guys.
The name, I think you really do what the name says, though, or how it's done in the Bible.
Well, very good. That's pretty straight up, isn't it?
That's good, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I think for me, I'm really biblically illiterate, as you're pointing out, and I really haven't studied the Bible, to be honest. I'm kind of at a crossroads in my life, and I want to know how to better learn.
That's good. What else you got there, Jacob, for us?
The lunch room's right there.
Oh, yeah. Closest for lunch. I love it. I love it.
What was that? Another reason I'm picking this class.
This workshop's close to the lunchroom.
Smart man.
Smart man.
Yeah, hey.
Josh, the thoughts are
kind of what everyone else is going off of. Just, like, I've read the Bible and, you know, go to church. I hear other people's perspective on it, but kind of struggled with kind of just having that individual study time. And truly trying to make your own interpretations, not hearing what other people interpret mm-hmm. it. So maybe give me some insight on how to do that on my own.
That's good. Well, it's a commonality for all of us. At one point, we're all completely ignorant of the word, completely. And I found myself ignorant of the word even after taking some seminary classes, going to a Christian college, and being what I thought pretty dialed in and pretty secure. And through a series of events, God landed me in a topical study in the Bible on covenants. And I realized, man, well, maybe God's serious. Maybe he really does keep his promises. Maybe when he says his word will not return void, maybe he really means it. When he says it's profitable for teaching, training, reproof, all those things, so that we can be equipped. When he starts saying that, it's like, well, maybe it's real. And so I kind of said, okay, I'm in. But then years actually later, I'm reading along in Ephesians 4, and it's completely out of context. It says to you young men, stop stealing and go to work so you have something good to give those in need. Well, the Holy Spirit did a 180 on me and said, Smith, you're going to sit and listen to other people teach you? Stop stealing and go to work so you have something good to give those in need. And I'm a salesman, so I have opinions, and my little mouth blabs all the time. 24/7 is my job. And Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let an unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Not one. But only such a word that's good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it gives grace to those who hear. And I knew I said a lot of stupid things. And what if I could deliver to someone the word of God and not my own opinion? So that's a little section in Ephesians 4 where God literally encouraged me to go to work. And so that's why I'm here today, because it's a lifetime process. And
real quick, just adding,
yeah,
enjoyed a conversation with Bill this morning. And a really important thing for you to take out of this, a critical verse as far as studying the Bible, is Hebrews 4:12. And it says, the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit, and discern the heart and intention of man. The key right there is, it's living and active. So right there, you got an example. He's going through Ephesians chapter 4, and all of a sudden, it is alive. And the critical thing is, you have to have the Holy Spirit to interpret what the word says.
Thank you. A couple things on mindset, and then I think we'll get into a little practicality here. This is a workshop, and we're going to do some participation together here in a minute. But there's a book out there on the table titled How Discipline of Delusion. And in that book, one of the points that I think is an interesting point is that God did not give us our ability to think and reason so that we could do whatever we wanted with it, to live our lives, to be gifted in whatever we're gifted in, to get through this life. He gave it to us so that we could get to know Him better and serve Him better. So as we go to looking at how to study the Bible, I think that's a mindset to always hang on to. The fact that, well, John 3:3, he tells the Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't even see. You don't even know what you don't know. And we've heard already about blindness. I don't even know what I don't know. I can't even, as you mentioned, I can't even go to the Word and pull anything out without the Holy Spirit's help. And so, as we go to the Bible, I also, I think it's good to remember our own sense of inferiority to God. His ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not our thoughts. And many of the books in the New Testament, Paul is helping believers switch their thinking from man's reasoning. Why are you putting this guy above that guy and doing this and this, and there's a special table for these people and not for those people, and all these things, versus God's revelation. So I think asking for that. The Bible was not written. I love this from Howard Hendricks. He was a professor back in the day. The Bible was not written to satisfy our curiosity, but to help you conform to Christ's image. Not to make you a smarter sinner, but to make you like the Savior. Not to fill your head with a collection of biblical facts, but to transform your life. And I just say, you guys, we don't learn that. And no one teaches us in school, college, or whatever. We learn to get facts, to know stuff. And what the Bible is there to conform us to the image of Christ. That's a whole different game. That's a game stopper. And that's when these guys are talking about in these relationships with God. That is true. And then that same professor who's now passed away, but saw a lot of Bible students, the people that are going to take on the Bible and really go after it. He said, there are three types that I see. There's the nasty medicine type. To them, the word is bitter. It's good for what ails them, so they take it, like castor oil, you know. But they don't like it. There's the shredded wheat kind. So the scripture is nourishing but dry and hard to swallow. It's like eating a bale of hay. The third kind is what I would call the strawberries and cream folks. They just can't get enough of the stuff. How do they require that taste? By feasting on the Word. And so in Psalm 1 it says, My delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law I meditate day and night. You know, so where's my delight? This feasting in the Word reminded me of Hebrews 5:14. So they mentioned earlier 5:13 that the people are still on milk and they're not accustomed to the Word of Truth. They just don't even know what they don't know about the Word. But 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So again, that takes practice. In 1 John chapter 2. He says, "I write to you, young men, because the Word of God abides in you, and you overcome the evil one." So that doesn't mean that you don't ever sin, but you now can recognize a counterfeit because you know what the real thing looks like. So just say, hopefully that stimulates you as we come to this place that there is it is living and active. And I encourage you guys to remember that as you come to the Word. So let me give you handout. I do this next because if not, you know, if you're like me, I would have read half through this while we're talking and missed a bunch of it. Here, let me pass a few of those that way. Do that way. Hopefully, you guys will. Love your thoughts and interactions here.
But what you just said, that's why it's so important to be with another person. Iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read the Bible, and I know people get lost in it, they take it in a whole different direction than what they think it's what it says.
Sure.
That's why you need to, and they say, you can't do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's good.
I mean, you can read it, but to really understand it, you're talking with somebody else about it.
Yeah. And there is a discipline endurance aspect too.
Yeah.
Stick with it. Hang in there.
Lifelong,
exactly. Yeah. So I guess the question would be, have you guys seen the Bible misused by others? And if yes, how do we prevent doing the same? There's some possible examples here of answers. But any other thoughts that come to mind from that?
Hart's on likes to talk about a phrase that he calls confirmation bias. And it's essentially explained as a universal problem that none of us would have the ability to open the Word and see it for real, because we have the overwhelming propensity to look for what we think we already know and prove that we already know it.
Yeah, that's good.
So you're going to see what you think you're already looking for in a confirmation effort, right? So I think one of the biggest challenges, I think even to be able to approach the Bible without that's probably not even there. So I think the important part to me seems to be in the heart mindset that I will allow the Holy Spirit to move me into the Lord. And I think sometimes when I force it, that's not bad, but it's a different outcome.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's not what I wanted to say.
So no, reading versus meditating, being in the Word, right?
Yeah.
Because I've got 30 minutes to do it, and it starts now. Yeah. Right.
Can somebody read that verse there, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 for us? You got it right there. Okay.
All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped with every good work.
That's good. As you've already heard already in this this weekend, preparing for judgment, preparing for eternity. Josh, could you read that verse for us, 2 Timothy 2:15?
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the words of truth.
That's good. And finally, just to get to know God, what does He expect? If His ways aren't our ways and His thoughts aren't our thoughts, then what are His thoughts? So, Ken, could you read that for us, John 14:21?
He who has my commandments and keeps them is one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose him myself to him.
Yes, good. Thank you. Luke 11:28.
But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we don't have to go through all these, but I just thought just a summary of what are some of the things, the common pitfalls in Bible study. As has already been mentioned again, forsaking personal Bible study. It really does invite gullibility. If I don't know what I don't know, if I'm not accustomed to the Word of Truth, I'm inviting gullibility to false teaching. And it masks things like double-mindedness. I think that in interaction with the Word exposes my heart, exposes my thinking.
I guess going back to your question, have you seen the Bible misused? I know several Bible studies up where I'm at, and I think it's kind of masked, smoke and mirrors, and it's called Bible study, but what ends up happening is conversations about work or anything but the Bible. So I think it kind of gives people that false sense of security, like they were having a Bible study, but no, you're not.
Well, if you're not reading out of the Bible, then you're having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're pulling a verse out and you're dissecting that verse, then you're studying.
Yeah, correct. And I've seen that sometimes that's not even happening, so, yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun. And if you're going back and you're looking at various New Testament writings and Paul warning the church at, or warning Timothy about what's going on and false teachers coming in, Gnosticism and all these other things, right now, have any of you guys ever watched, a CD came out a couple of years ago called The American Gospel?
Yeah.
Anyway, it goes into some of the, I have friends that I've tried to witness through who are universalists. Everybody's going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you live or whatever else. And a guy named Richard Rohr, and you've got prominent personalities. And cults will take a little piece of the gospel, of the Bible, and make that a stance of this is the way it is. And so having a confidence and a knowledge of the Word, where when you watch Mike up there, I mean, he would come up with an idea and then he would support it. Boom, boom, boom. This is why. And so knowing the Word to be able to validate your position is critical. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the weeds.
Well, and another point of that is you may recognize something as truth or not truth and not have the exact address for the reference, but that's why you learn to study the Bible, to be able to go look that stuff up. I know that's not true. Now let me go figure out why I know that.
Yeah.
Right? And so doing a topical study on that can get you there. Right?
And not use one little verse.
Absolutely, yeah.
A lot more in there.
That's good. One other point, and I think we can move on, but skipping quickly to interpretation without spending extended time in observation, memorization, and meditation on the Word, it's just a mistake I make even today a bunch. Like, okay, I don't spend time. I'm going to hurry, 15-minute morning thing, and read this. Like, okay, I got it. And so if you see this, there's a hand illustration in here on the handout. And the navigators came up with this. But what I like about it, look where that thumb is. So you've got the page 8. See that thumb? So you got the thumb. What is that? What's it say on the thumb there?
Meditate.
So meditate and memorize. See, I can put those two together. Meditate and study. Meditate and read. Meditate and hear. We hear a lot about meditation these days, you guys. I think there's a desire for people to experience the peace, not regular, but the peace. And remember, Jesus said it, peace, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives it, do I give you, right? Well, people want that. We'll say, well, if you meditate right, you get in the right Zen or whatever, you're going to be good. Well, there's a value to meditation. It's just been twisted, right, by the world.
Meditation doesn't have an evil connotation to it. Naturally, right. We give it that because of the Eastern
right.
influence. It really just means to ponder, think.
Billy, think about it. So I can memorize it. That helps me think about it. I can study it. That helps me think about it. Read. Hear. So I thought I'd just leave that with you. Let's look at the different versions of the Bible.
Which page?
Well, this is page 2.
Oh,
on the back side.
Translations.
Yeah. Okay. So different translations or versions of the Bible. So there were, again, I'm not a historian on all this stuff, but there were 8 or 9 versions of the Bible before we even got the King James out there, besides the original manuscripts, the Greek and Hebrew. So there's 3 main types, just I bunched them together word by word. Those type of translations are best for Bible study, for your personal Bible study, just because it gives you a chance to work through it word by word. There are versions that are thought by thought. I know that especially early in my walk, I did a lot of memorization in the NIV just because because it's thought by thought, it's easier to memorize. It's more conversational, but it's not taking word by word. It's thought by thought. So saying these concepts, so there can be, you can miss pieces. It gets if you're in your own personal study. I think, and then
so maybe great to get a general idea about what that section's about, but not great to go in and figure out what real words meant and what tenses would be about. Things like that.
And then paraphrase. So examples would be J.B. Phillips or The Message, where it's a paraphrase.
That right there is really actually pretty cool. You know, I loved the King James ones and the Old English, but very confusing sometimes reading it.
Yes.
It's like, what?
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, wow. But, you know, and then I went to the NIV because it was a little bit more easier to understand.
Yeah.
But that's pretty
Yeah, cool. You should try the Middle English version. I didn't try it, but my son's roommate was an English major, and he could read that stuff, and my goodness. There used to be a version of the Bible that was Middle English. I think that's to be aware of. So if you could pick, New King James, English ESV, English Standard Version, New American Standard, can be helpful, I think, in Bible study.
And you like doing that with that, I would take the King James Bible and the NIV.
Sure,
put
parallel.
Them side by side.
Yeah.
And see how to read.
And you've got some websites that allow you to pull up your four or five side by side.
Yeah,
that's good.
Really makes it easy to compare them. You know, the interlinear Bible, I think.
Correct.
What you're looking for.
Yep. So, here's some steps. I mean, we're guys. We like, we're fixers. We're doers. So, page 3. Thought we would just walk through a couple steps here and take a moment and give you guys a chance to spend 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, and we'll just let you do your own study with us, and we'll walk through it. A couple areas of guidance always begin with prayer. So we'll pray. You know, without God's help, we're wasting our time, as we talked about. Setting the context, I think, is really important. And I there's a little book that I brought an example of, and they have it up there at the handout here. It's called Studying, Interpreting, and Applying the Bible. That can be a very helpful book. And so I quoted from it here on observation, on step one. And it has several steps that it walks through for you. Some ideas that you guys, we're gonna look at one little passage here. It's actually the verse for the weekend is Galatians 5:13. So we're gonna look at that. And as you can see, I printed it out on page 2 in multiple versions. So you already have your interlinear all set to go. But also the 5 W's and an H. You know, what, where, when, why, how. Look for key words, repeated words in the passage. Look for purpose or main idea or the big idea in the passage. You can answer the question, what do I see? What are you showing me, Lord? What comes out at me in this section? So I'm going to give you just 10 minutes or so and just give you a chance to open your Bibles to Galatians 5:13-15 and just walk through that. Any questions about that? There's no right or wrong way to do this, as we've already said. Any guy that can, if you can read the newspaper, you can study the Bible. Okay, guys, we'll stop there. So, a couple things we just did. One, we're able to read the verse. Galatians 5:13 in several different versions. We're able to, if you wanted to go and look at maybe some of the definitions, the words behind that. We'll talk about some tools to find those in the future. You may have had some other observations or things pop up as you went through it, but maybe a couple of you want to share what you wrote down for Galatians 5:13. First, read it for us again, in whatever version you kind of reviewed. Read the verse, Galatians 5:13, and then maybe just share it in your own words.
I can start if you want.
Sure, sure.
You can read the whole thing or just...
Just the 13 is fine. And then maybe your how you wrote it out, right. Galatians 5:13.
You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Kind of where my head's on that. It's a hot topic. Something I struggle with, we don't need to just go through the motions, right? Like, and act like we love somebody, but like the point was made earlier, we need to pray for people, all the people. So kind of what I got for that is we truly have to. And not for your own selfish means, but serving one another. So,
that's good. That's really good. Anybody else want to share?
Something interesting I kind of found was just looking at the definitions where it broke down freedom kind of in contrast to the way it was in the Old Testament. So now that we have Jesus, we're free from those regulations that we had to do in the old times.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, humans have more freedom than ever from not being constantly held to go to, sacrifice animals. You truly have so much freedom. I was really saying, be careful with what you do with it.
Yeah. Free indeed. We're definitely. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That's good. Well, let's go to this next page, page 4 on the handout. And you could use Galatians 5, 13 and 14, or just 13. And we're going to talk about, answer the question, what does it mean? So you can use the cross-references on page 6, and obviously on page 5 you've got some definitions to help you. What are the key thought the writer might be communicating? And then when you finish 13, go ahead and go down to, are there any commands listed in these verses? And if there are, maybe write them down. Are there any warnings in these verses? Especially and you can just take 13 if you want. Are there any commands there or any warnings? And then finally, one application that you're going to take home with you for these verses. So we'll take another 10 minutes to let you do that. All right, you guys, good job. We just took on an impossible task. You really can't do much, but we'll leave you with some tools. But would anybody like to just share what they, any key thought, any key words, what this passage was, anything that came out to you?
Well, to me, it was an opportunity to use the freedom we were given to serve others and not ourselves.
Great. That's good. So love and serve would be key elements, yeah. Good. So, well, let's look at 15. What's the obvious warning in 15?
You'll devour each other.
I hate that.
Yeah.
But can you see a possible warning in 13? Can you say that in a different way? And again, it's not a right or wrong, but what does it warn us of if we have this freedom?
Yeah, we could don't use it for
mess it up.
You could mess it up, yeah. Yeah, isn't that something? It's good. After what Christ did for us, you know. Just like us, though, isn't it? We've got the upper hand. We want to use it. Good. And then, any commands that you came up with? Maybe one or two people share that.
Love one another.
Yeah. Kind of sums it up pretty good, doesn't it?
And don't abuse your freedom.
Yeah, that's true.
Good. Really good. All right, you guys. Well, like I said, not a lot of time here, but God, if you look at the tools on page 7, New American Standard can be a good tool. But even today, was it in 2 Peter 1:10. What's the NASB say? What year word does it use? You remember what it said? Certainty. So, and that's probably not the best definition. So I think sometimes you want to be able to go back and see what's the word, because remember Winston said faith does involve uncertainty. And then you go along in this verse and it says, well, you can know with certainty. Well, that may not have been the best choice for words. So even in the NASB, I think it's just good to go back and look. And again, there's nothing that's perfect here. We're all going to come to the Word by faith anyway. The fact that somehow some scroll written by some person somewhere in a different language can actually get down to the level it is today to us can only be done by God, right? So there's a book the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I brought one. I don't know if you ever want to order one. You can also use it for powerlifting because it's about 92 pounds. But the idea would be that Strong's, I think his name was James Strong's, but he took and went. He went through the Bible and he looked at every Hebrew word and he gave it a number all the way through the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, he looked at every Greek word and gave it a number. And sometimes there's Aramaic in the New Testament in a couple of places. So he gave that. So there's a way for us to see, go back and find that word without us understanding even how to pronounce the Hebrew word or spell it or the Greek word. It's a way to go through. And so you can look at it. I'll throw it out here so you guys can peruse it if you want. And also this next page is, I'll show you a way to actually use Blue Letter Bible to actually see those words. You can click on them and there's a link, a hyperlink that takes you to those words as you look at the words on the screen. It's just free too. It's a great little reference. There's a Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It's a comprehensive collection of over 500,000 scriptures, references, and parallel passages.
That's online also.
But it's online also, and it's also on the Blue Letter Bible, which I've got pictures here. I'm going to show you here in a minute on the next pages. And then, of course, as I already mentioned, studying, interpreting, applying the Bible. That is a fantastic book to go through for your own private study and also with groups. And it will show you how to do a verse analysis, chapter analysis, do a topical study, to do an overview of a book. So shows you some ways that you can look at the Bible that would be encouraging to you. And all of them can be so helpful because what if you do want to have something available to share with somebody? You're seeing people bite and devour with one another. You could say, stop it, or you could say, hey, I'd like you to read this verse. What does that say? It says I can bite and devour people and it's a good idea. It's like, well, could you please read it again? Because maybe that's not what it's saying, right? So it's a way to, I think having those tags, and I think that's it's helpful. That book helps you start getting some hooks and grabbing as you spend time in the Word. Oh yeah, that's that area talks about this. It's a way to get reference as you move forward. And then finally, and that book also is out there, and I've got one here too, I'll lay out. And then the blueletterbible.org. And if you look on the last two pages, oh, by the way, page 9, I did an excerpt from Studying, Interpreting, and Applying the Bible. Observation, interpretation, correlation, application. In that correlation, the Bible is the best interpreter of itself. Look at those verses. Go back, see if it's so, as you read through it. And then, finally, Blue Letter Bible. So when you get to it, if you want to see the Strong's Concordance, you have to choose the versions that I circled. You have to choose on Blue Letter Bible either King James Version, NASB 2020 Version, or the NASB 1995 Version. If you choose one of those and look up a verse, then that little Strong's guy, see that circle? You can make that little blue green check mark. You click on that box. It'll let you see it. And all of a sudden, you see these G2564, the word call. There's the Greek reference. And now you can go back to a Strong's dictionary. Or, again, that's a hyperlink. You can just click on it, and it'll show you that word. So that can be a very valuable tool as you get started, and it's no charge. And then the very last page, we talked and you referenced it too. The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. You can access it through Blue Letter Bible by clicking on that tools. So once you have a verse up, and then you can see interlinear, which we talked about, you guys. Remember, you see several different versions kind of in parallel. You can see different versions of the Bibles, cross references. Commentaries, which I put in red. After you do your study, I would really encourage you, do not open a commentary. Don't even look at a commentary. If you've got a Bible that's got commentary, take a piece of paper and cover it up so you don't accidentally look down there. Again, just it's helpful. You need to check it, check your thinking, but...
Well, it's like listening to another guy.
Yeah, it is. Because yeah. You are.
Yeah.
You're listening to...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the dictionary. So that's... thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah.